Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
We have our own devil, if you will, or our own demons, if you will. And there's no reference point in there because we haven't seen God's face to know that God's goodness is ultimately for us all the time. And so we hear a voice or a feeling and we think, that's got to be it because I haven't ever had anything before and I got the first thing, so that's it. And we go, wait, time, check it out. But what if that's God? He'll tell you again. What if it's not God? Pass. But what if I'm missing? If you really want to see if it is, then check it out. Because God speaks of the inner kingdom and the direction inwardly and the drawing back up into God and the touching of God's heart to your heart, which is the same heart, and you come awake here in this world and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we become a spiritualized being in the physical body, strange but true. And it radiates out from our countenance, not from our physical body because it still has the dullness, but it gets through the skin because it's a higher vibration. And it gets through the eyes because it's a higher vibration. And it has a hard time getting through the mouth because it's a lower vibration. So by the time we try to tell somebody how wonderful we are, we're bragging. When you try to tell somebody that it's so, it's called conceit. And so you finally go, and they go, I get it. So you want to be quiet all the time, and then you're accused by the other person's thought mind of not loving them because you don't talk to them, but then when you do talk to them, you're accused of saying things wrong. So what happens is this thought process either overloads your information, they give you so much that you're just swamped, and you say, I can't work the stock market, you do it. Or underloads you, where the wife will say to the husband, well, if you really want to wash the clothes, just put all the whites together. And so he washes the clothes, and he brings them in. She said, you put the wrong kind of cloth together with the wrong kind of things. And now look at this, and you dried it with too much heat, and it shrunk my favorite blouse. And he's gone, oh, man, I didn't know it was so technical. Well, it isn't. She just gave under information. When you leave the physical body and traverse the inner realms, and by that, it could be out-of-the-body travel or deep inside of you, so you're not aware of this world. The spiritual beings look at you, and they see grotesque, misshapen forms because who you really are inside has been perverted and corrupted and twisted. And you can keep a facade out there of how wonderful it all is, and inside, it's scheming, and it's dirty, and it's filthy, and it's corrupt. And you get to sometimes see that. Some people see it as a nightmare. They get up above what this body's been living, and in the spiritual form, they get to see it, and it comes at them as a monster, or as stickiness, or as something else, and you wake up in a cold sweat just screaming, and it's, oh my God, I had this terrible nightmare, and I felt like I was dying, and they were dying, and somebody was dying, and they were going to get me, and I tried to run, and the bear was on me, and I was trying, then I fell over the cliff, and then when I fell out of bed and hit the floor, I woke up. And we're saying, what is all that? That is the psychological realness in us that is tied to the spiritual nature inside of us. And we are seeing what we psychologically have done out here in this world with our thoughts and our corruption from the spiritual place. And we see it, and we are told in the spirit, you are corrupting your life. and then we don't want to believe it. I've worked with a person who outwardly is loving and jovial, and you say, golly, what a spiritual being. But yes, having these nightmares, same ones over and over and over and over, and they dealt with concentration camps and brutality. And it must be 7 years that the person was masquerading under spiritual information, and inside he was a wolf corrupting and grabbing and manipulating. And finally one day he said, can you explain to me what this dream is? I said, yeah, it's you. He said, I never did those things to those people. I said, you didn't? Then why are you seeing that? Why are you seeing those things? Why are you having those dreams? Why are you dreaming that instead of this? Why are you dreaming negativity instead of positiveness? He says, well, how did I do it? How am I doing it? I says, well, you see, you go out and you start talking about the movement of spiritual inner awareness and all the love, and you and I are pretty good friends because I love you no matter what you do. You just can't do it around me. So you go do it around other people, and then you use your one-upsman on all sorts of people, and you use it to get the women in bed, to have your way with them, and then all of a sudden you're more spiritual than you thought you were, and so you have to leave them because, after all, you're now going to be celibate. Well, everybody's celibate between sexual intercourses, depending upon who you're going for. Finally, one day, he came to me, and this was a person who said, I am afraid to sleep because the dreams are grotesquely terrible. I said, would you just look at yourself? He said, I'm really terrified. I said, what you're looking at is terrifying, and who you are is loving, and you've got the thing mixed up and you're being led astray out of your own mind, and you got to come back into balance and control. He said, what do I do? And I said, well, how about you and I just praying together? And he said, you don't teach prayer. I said, yeah, I do. Teach all sorts of things. They just teach what's necessary. In other words, if there's a fire burning, you don't throw gasoline on it, you throw water on it. Then when you want to start a fire, you put a little gasoline, throw a match in, and you get a fire. It depends on what you're doing. So he said, do we have to kneel down? I said, you might want to. I don't have to. He said, why not? I said, because I'm not seeing those things. And he said, well, why would I kneel down? I said, so you can get a better look, because they seem to be pretty low-down stuff that you're looking at. He goes, can I just sit in a chair with you? And I said, yeah, but not in the same chair with me, but you can sit in the chair. And he said, but that's a good idea. Could I sit in the chair with you? And I was thinking, oh, no. And I thought, wait a minute. That's just God over there and God in here. And I said, yeah, come on, sit down. And I thought, I hope this prayer doesn't last long, because the person was pretty big, and I knew my legs would go. And as a matter of fact, the prayer was, I started it, and then we were praying back and forth. And he'd pray, and I'd pray, and we were just like one person carrying on a conversation. And it isn't like the prayer that you'd normally think people would pray, but it was for us. And I said, I think what would really be nice is if maybe I get to kneel on the floor and you can sit in the chair. And he said, well, that will be okay. So he got up, and I couldn't get up. I just kind of slid out on the floor, because the legs were gone. And I mean, when I say gone, you know, I looked down there, and the feet, I couldn't move toes, nothing. So he said, how long do you think this will last? And I said, I'm not really sure yet, but I'll let you know, because I didn't know how long it was going to take to come awake. But as he started looking, he stood there, and he says, I have to confess something that I'm hearing inside of me. I have taken your teachings, and I've twisted them, and I've corrupted them, and I've abused them, and I've used them on people. And I said, wait a minute, how can you be saying positive out of a negative mouth? He said, there's something inside of me that is just telling me that I've got to come clean with what I've done, or I'm going to dream of concentration camps and brutality and grotesque things forever. And he says, that's enough. And he just went on and on and on. And he said, I am not going to do that again. And I said, well, don't tell me, tell you. Because you're always telling people things out there and you're going to do it anyway. And so he just went back inside and he put his hands over his heart like this. And I could see in his mind, and he was going, I'll never do that again. And then he went like this. It's like, see no evil, hear no evil. And he was touching places in his body where he felt that the life of him, who he was, had stopped. And he was just touching it, and he was saying, why did I get this body if it wasn't to do those things that I did? I said, well, it was to do the things you did, but you didn't have to do those. That's one of the options. But there was another option called using the body to have the soul have the experience in through this world and see God in all of its manifestations and keep the body pure and clean. He said, I remember you've talked about that, but I didn't think that's what you meant. I said, right, see, the thought takes the teachings and corrupts it for what it wants it to think it to mean. You understand the idea? It'll turn and twist, and then it wants to get an audience to prove that that's so, and they lie. Because you don't need an audience to prove anything. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, and the proof of the spirituality is going in and eating of the life stream, the light of God, of eating of that spiritual energy. The nice thing about it, the people that go into the heavens see into the hells and see the real grotesqueness of who a person is. And they see that how that person has twisted themselves inside psychologically and just messed up themselves until their faces are grotesque and their bodies are grotesque. And they turn from it and come back into the kingdom of heaven where they're serving and being useful as a kingdom member. And they have joy. And they also know that the other way leads to a path of hurt. And what about those people that are down in hell? Are they lost forever? Well, I don't know if they're lost forever, because forever has never been defined. Are they lost for an eternity? Yeah, just an eternity. How long is that? We don't know. Because 2,000 years ago, a great master walked across that bridge inside from the spiritual into the negativity, from the kingdom of heaven to the Father into the fortress of hell, and bridged inside of himself and all beings the ability to turn from darkness into light. In the midst of hell, there is salvation. But the illusion is, in hell, you don't know it. And there are those people on this planet who would subjugate other people and put them under their thumb and make them do what they want, and those people reside in hell and get others to join them. And there are battles in those purgatory situations. And they do exist, and they exist as purification devices, because God is still merciful even in that 11th hour. It says, fight it out and get it over with. And in those areas, it's like people slink around in dark places, and the, I'm going to call it the evilness that has come out of them because of what they've done in the world, it tags after them when they leave here. And it circles around them, and it takes on strange forms, and you don't know who you're talking to. And as soon as you start to come into being right with you, and that means right with God, and I guess that means right with God, go where God is, and right with God inside of you, meaning you're not wrong with God. The blessings that are already present and have been eternally, because God created all things and said, it's good. and then said, I will give you will and thought to do as you will, and we thought the worst and it happened. We know that what we think takes that energy and puts it into the thought. The Bible says, what you fear will come upon you. As man thinketh in his heart, he becomes. And I'm here to tell you, that's so. But you don't have to die to know that. You can know it by being an alive, sentient being of mother, of father, and practice going in and penetrating further and further in past all the junk that you've got on the surface layers. Some people close their eyes and go in, and their mind says, get out of here, you can't be in here, you got to go do the washing, you got to go downtown, you got this to do, you got that to do. And you're saying, I don't know, I just can't, I give up. What have you give up to except your opportunity? Then you sit out here in the thought and judge everything as how terrible, bad, and wrong it is, and you haven't gone in to get the key to the kingdom. What is the key to the kingdom? Knock, knock, knock. You have to be able to knock at the door. The funny thing of it is the door doesn't swing in, the door swings out. So when you knock, you also have to step back and let the door open. It's called relax, let go. It was translated originally, let go and let God. We just say, relax, be patient, but be sure you knock. In the movement of spiritual and awareness, that knocking is the sacred name of God that knocks on the door of the vibration where you have now grown accustomed to be, because you're able to infuse yourself with this spiritual light. Here's the good news, and here's the bad news. It's always been here. Then we go, if it's always been here, why didn't I know it? You haven't been listening, because I told you why. Because you thought that and went that way. Now, here's where we get a chance to say, well, I am living in the will of God, and my wisdom tells me, and attempt to use this information to make right the manipulation, and you corrupt yourself even more. In fact, it's better that some people don't hear of spiritual things because they use them to their own downfall. And I found out a long time ago that the Father of Lights, God of us all, brings people into the movement for reasons. And those reasons may or may not be made known. And sometimes people come in just to feel they're okay and to know that regardless of what their feelings and their minds tell them, that it's not okay, they are okay. And they have to work on the okayness as well as they've worked on the not okay part. Most of the time, and I don't want to indict you nor make this sound like an attack, but here it is. We spend more time in the negative thinking and the judging and the decision making against ourselves and against our neighbors, and we won't feed them the life of God. We won't feed them. We won't tell them. We won't say, you're okay. I love you. God loves you. There are some people that know that God loves you, and they say it, and they go, ah, they're religious fanatics. Of course they're religious fanatics. They'd have to be to say that. What's wrong with being a religious fanatic and knowing that God loves you? I'd take it, because guess what you know? You know God. Guess what you get to be if you know God? God's friend. Guess what you get to be if when you get to be God's friend? God's partner. Well, when you're a partner, you're a junior partner to start with. Then you get to be made a full-fledged member of the firm. And you get to enter into the co-creation with the creator of us all. We get to enter into co-creation, and we take up positions and places in the worlds of spirit that we have grown accustomed to by our own spiritual upliftment. And that upliftment, and I'd like to get this real clear to you, is a 25-hour-a-day job, 8 days a week. If we just meet requirements, we fail. After we meet requirements, we say, and here's one for the road. Which road? The road into God. Most people go, here's one for the road, and they go out and wreck. Wrong type of spirit. But does it seem good in the situation? Yes, and appropriate, and everybody's doing it, and it can't be wrong. And then when you wreck your car, how come everybody doesn't come and be wrong with you? I don't know. I've often wondered about that. You'd think if they loved me, they'd come and share my hurt too. Yeah, but when you promote it for yourself, isn't the law that what you sow, so shall you reap? It didn't say what you sow, everybody else gets to reap. It doesn't say that. It says you do it, you get it. Here's the bad news. What you sow, you reap. Here's the good news. What you sow, you reap. He's like, how can you have good news and bad news on the same thing? Well, what are you sowing? Well, I'm sowing evil amongst what I think is good so I can have my way. What's the other thing you're sowing? I'm sowing deeds of good and thoughts of upliftment. Yeah, and quality thoughts if I'm going to think. And so we can come from the place of the will of God by being in God's will. And God's will is loving to all beings and being useful to all beings and serving all beings without, when do I get mine? You're getting yours by the serving. That may sound strange to you, but if you're going to serve to get it, you will never get it, because that's a negative thought of serving to get. And the positive one is serving, and the reward is there in that, because it comes out of that pure place, and you wonder why you can serve and it's so perfect and somebody else can do it and it's so klutzy. Klutzy? Who got into my thoughts? Whoever did, thank you, that describes it. So we have almost eternally the challenge of which reality of spirit do we live in? The reflected reality out here, which is spirit in the natural world, or the unreflected but the real spirit inside? People that are listening now and people that will be watching this later and listening will get really mad about what I'm saying, because I'm telling them what they're doing as they're doing it, and they're reaching in, they're trying to find all sorts of justifications that I'm wrong, and they're feeling bad and judging and down inside. And the Bible said, judge not, lest ye be judged, so knock it off. Why judge? You don't know the history of all things. But participate in the aspect of serving that you're doing. In the serving that you're doing, you will grow and you will serve yourself. It comes automatically. Listen, it comes automatically. If you sow weeds, they grow automatically. Don't then go blame somebody else who's got a field full of beautiful wheat because yours is full of weeds, because they've done good work. You say, but I did exactly the same thing they did, physically. But inwardly, you were corrupt and turned and twisted. And you were negative and you judged. And nobody could tell by looking at your face because you smiled so beautifully. And you were so spiritual. And then you did it to them. Now when it comes back to you, can't you take it? Say, I can take it. I don't want to take it. I know, but you got to take it. No, I'm not going to take it. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Fine, suit yourself. They take it. Why? Because you walk away and you leave them alone to it. They go into the bedroom, they close their door, and they're all by themselves, and they go, oh, God, this is killing me. Well, wise up. You just heard yourself tell you what you're doing. Wise up. Listen to yourself. The thing that's paramount that we know, that we know when we're deceiving and lying and cheating, and we know when we do that, and we also know when we are not doing that. We also know that. Because when we're not doing that, the way we know is there's a wonderful, peaceful openness and loving and just reaching out to all people and saying, I love all of you. You go, how could you love everybody? Get in that place and find out. Well, I don't want to love everybody. Just love the one you got. I don't want to just love the one I got. I know, you're on your way to hell. Enjoy the scenery. It's not been too good lately. I know. Now, if you want to see beautiful scenery, on the way to God, you can go through hell and it will still be beautiful. You can go through it. Don't stay in it. You don't have a reservation. You have passage. The traveler consciousness comes forward inside of you and comes into that place that is spirit and moves into that little space in between. And you start to feel the awakening of that. Sometimes when that awakening takes place, you're turned over to another type of spiritual teacher to take you through that you've sown and you're reaping. This new teacher is the best one to take you through that for you. And after you've harvested the thistles. In fact, somebody told me once, you know what a definition of a weed is? And I said, what? They said, a flower growing out of place. And I said, oh, well, maybe that's true. But that leads to all sorts of questions. Who planted the flower? Why didn't they plant more like it? Well, misery loves company, but so does spiritual beings love spiritual company. There is a statement in the Bible, and I'm going to close this with that. And it goes like this. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house, and that means inside of me, we serve the Lord. Berush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.